Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie. Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts in our 17 showrooms nationwide. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, still to come in the programme, Minister for Agriculture Charlie McConlogue will this morning announce plans to introduce a ban on the use of electric shock collars for dogs and cats. We're going to be hearing from him. We'll also look at the big issues dominating the European elections in the first of a series of reports from Brian O'Connell, and 25 years since the broadcast of RTE's States of Fear, historian Dermot Ferriter looks at the legacy of that landmark programme. Now, John Lewis, the prominent UK retail group, has broken new ground by posting its interview questions online, their job interview questions. The move aims to assist candidates, particularly those who are neurodiverse, to prepare adequately for their interviews. But what does this mean for the recruitment landscape, and how might it affect the future of hiring practices? Well, to discuss this, I'm joined by career psychologist Sinead Brady. Sinead, good morning to you.
Good morning, Colin.
What's your initial reaction to this move by John Lewis, which some might consider radical?
Yeah, I think this is very positive. I mean, we have to kind of look at the whole recruitment, selection and assessment landscape, as you said, and think about it both for the candidates that we're assessing now and into the future. But I think this is, John Lewis is a massive retailer. So this is kind of the output of a wider neuro-inclusion policy. So organisations looking on will have a lot of groundwork to do before you would kind of get to the point where you're beginning to publish your interview questions, because they have, you know, a massive neuro-inclusion policy. They work with ranges of different organisations across the UK and partner with them to make sure that they're recruiting the right people into the right roles, and across all of the different age brackets and genders and people from ranges of different backgrounds that sometimes find it difficult to find roles within organisations. So I think this is a positive move, because it will help the wider conversation about interviews to kind of come to the fore.
All right. I recall a colleague of mine, sadly no longer with us, but he was an incredibly smart individual, but by his own admission, he was not an interview candidate. So why is it mm-hmm. that some people who are extremely capable are just not interview people?
Interviews are really challenging. So for some people who are socially adept, you know, they're really strong in the spoken word, work very well under pressure, interviews can be okay, actually. But for other people, interviews are just this absolutely crippling experience, one in which they feel extremely nervous, one in which they find it really hard to think on their feet. They, as your colleague, you know, would have found, maybe got it really hard to put into words what they're able to do, but very brilliant at their job. So what's really interesting, Colin, about interviews is that we know from research that has been ongoing since, you know, we've got about 100 years of research on this now, that there's actually limited predictive validity for interviews with performance. And what that means is the person who performs really well at interview won't necessarily be the best person for the job.
So are interviews a good way of assessing for particular roles where the skills that you can replicate in an interview are actually relevant to the job itself?
Correct. And that's a really concise way of putting it. But that is only for a very limited number of roles. The vast majority of roles, interviews don't map very well onto what you do day to day. So yes, we need to be good at having a conversation with people. We need to be able to communicate with team members. Absolutely. But interviews don't even predict that very well. So interviews will help with a very, very specific type of role. But there are other roles. For example, if you're recruiting for a dentist, an interview is not necessarily the best way to recruit for a dentist, because their job is not to talk to you very much. Their job is very much, it's tactile. It is got to do with the anatomy and the physiology of the mouth. So it's a very different role than somebody who perhaps is going for interview to be on broadcast journalism. So they're two very different roles in very different industries. And like John Lewis, you're interviewing for people that are not just store facing and customer facing, but are in ranges of different professions across the breadth of the business that is John Lewis.
And what is it specific, perhaps, maybe? And I know that you can't generalise across everybody on the neurodiverse spectrum, but what might it be in an interview situation that would be particularly challenging? Is it the standard interview rules of, you know, making eye contact and reading the room and all of those situations that maybe are not the skill set that would be available to them?
Absolutely. So things, for example, like eye contact can be a very difficult thing for people that are neurodiverse, for example. Making small talk can be a very challenging thing to do. Or interpreting body language, again, they're all really challenging things for people to do, as well as thinking on the spot. So you could have people that are really, really brilliant problem solvers, really, really brilliant critical thinkers. But if you put them under pressure in an interview whereby they're expected to make eye contact, expected to make small talk and interpret body language, but actually their ability then to critically think is almost consumed by having to think about those other things. So yes, absolutely. And it depends. So you will have different people will perform differently in interviews based on their ability. And then other people will perform differently based on. So we're judging people all by the same standard in an interview. It's this ability to engage in conversation across the table under pressure for the most part. And that's the very traditional interview. Now, recruitment and selection and assessment processes have moved along, and we have lots of different types of interviews available to people. So we have things like situational judgment tests, which is, for example, where you're given a sample or two hypothetical samples of everyday things that happen in your role, and then you have to solve them. So that's a really brilliant way of interviewing and applying it to the predictive ability of the person to do the job. There's really interesting stuff happening around multiple mini interviews. So it's where people actually come in and they're faced with situational judgments, and there's maybe 10 different types of situations in front of them, and they move between these multiple mini scenarios where they get to engage in practical problem solving that is absolutely related to the role that they're going to be doing.
Okay, Sinead Brady, career psychologist and author of Total Reset, thanks very much for joining us on that. Now, just before we take a break before the news, just bringing you breaking news this morning, Andy Cash has this morning pleaded guilty to murdering his two sisters and brother at their home in Tallaght nearly 2 years ago. The 26-year-old pleaded guilty at the Central Criminal Court to the murders of 18-year-old Lisa Cash and her 88-year-old twin brother and sister Christy and Chelsea Cawley at their family home in the Dublin suburb of Tallaght in the early hours of September 4th, 2022. He appeared in court this morning for the arraignment and spoke only to answer guilty when the three charges were read to him by the registrar. We're back with news after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.